The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So Justin, that gym that you're working at, the what is it, NorCal Functional Fitness?
NorCal Functional Fitness.
They have openings for trainers still?
Yeah, right now, and it's very limited space. So
how many are they looking for?
They're looking for at least, I think, 4 or 5 trainers right now.
Okay, so
fill a spot.
So in other words, if you're an aspiring trainer, or you want to be a trainer, or you are a trainer and you're looking to run your own business in a facility with excellent other trainers and a place where you could charge high rates because you're surrounded by great trainers in a good area, this is a great place to train.
Well, I think it's important we tell these guys too that the reason why we're doing this is because this first of all, we know Greg really well, the guy who owns this facility. Fucking awesome dude.
Yep,
and
great guy.
It's not often this place even has openings. Because the atmosphere, and those that have been to Mind Pump listeners for a long time, if you're a trainer and you're looking for like a kick-ass atmosphere of other trainers, and what I mean by that is other guys that are educated and have all different types of backgrounds that you can learn from and grow, like it's such a great place to like foster a good trainer. So it's, and that's why there's rarely ever any spots that are open.
Right, and you want a good environment too to bring your clients that's professional, right? And we've all been to that gym that's, you know, not so professional, let's just say, and you're bringing your client in there, and that affects your business. So, you know, something like this is definitely something you want to consider, being that everybody there, it's their career. It's for the trainer that has sort of elevated their path, right? It's somebody who stepped out of the corporate type setting and then now wants to really make this into their career.
Well, so every trainer there runs their own business. Mm-hmm. Out of this facility.
Right.
So you own your business and you run it.
It's a rare thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's in a great location. It's in Campbell, which is a great area in Silicon Valley. People do pay a lot of money for personal training in that area. So it's not uncommon. It's actually quite common to be able to charge, you know, around $100 a session. So if you want to make that kind of money and you don't want to pay, you know, 70% of it to your gym, then you want to work for yourself. And that's a place like NorCal Functional Fitness offers. Tell us about the equipment, because I feel like last time we didn't go into it.
Oh yeah, it's like a functional wet dream.
Yeah, there's a lot of really unique tools, and what's great about Greg and Mike, both of them, Mike's his son who also manages the gym. They're great about listening to the trainers, like what they could use and what we're looking to have in the gym, and so a lot of equipment is out of the box equipment. Like we'll have, like, I don't really know anywhere else that has a pegboard or has like bamboo bars or has trap bars and has platforms that it's okay if you make a little bit of noise. And I mean, it's not a real loud situation, so calm down, CrossFit people. but yeah, no, it's a very professional environment, you know, and that's kind of what we're hoping to keep. So that would be great.
Well, you've got the Rogue setup. You've got the TRX. You've got tires, sledgehammers. Right. You've got the bod pod in there. You've got a track.
You've got dumbbells, you've got barbells, all that stuff.
Multiple types of sleds that are going inside there. I mean, you got everything. Literally everything you could possibly think of as far as toys for a trainer and for functional training. I mean, it's so fucking fun to go over there and work out.
Yeah. Well, if you're interested in elevating your career in the fitness industry, this is a place that Mind Pump endorses. We recommend this place. You can contact them, and that's what you want to do. You want to call them or go on their website to get in contact with them to see if you can put in your application to be able to train there. The phone number is 888-523-6724, or you can go to norcalff.com. Again, it's NorCal Functional Fitness located in Campbell, and you can call them at 888-523-6724 or go to norcalff.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Adam.
What?
Explain to us about your polka dot Nikes.
What's all this distraction over here?
There's no explanation for them, bro. They're fucking cool. They're in style, man. They just came out. They just got released. They had them in green, white.
It's literally Mickey Mouse, like her skirt. That's what? The kind of polka dot is. Red polka dots.
I know this is so foreign for you, bro. I know you're still wearing white socks with black shoes over there and a black fucking pair of pants. I know that this is tough. But you know what, though?
Sal's always soccer ready, I've noticed.
Red polka dot shoes.
Exactly. This guy. Yes.
No. I'm asking you for your help. Yeah. So what you're saying is shoes with red polka dots on them.
No, that's not true. What it's more about is your personality. So it's right. You couldn't wear these because it's not your personality. You wear something that fits your personality. But there are certain things. Okay, it's kind of like what you said the other day with fitness. You know, with fitness and stuff, the way we do things, there's this huge spectrum of different modalities that we can use and tools to get to your goal. But there's some foundational rules. And like one of those rules is you can't wear black shoes and white socks. It's just a rule. But you can wear.
Well, it looks like me and Justin are fucked.
You can wear soccer shoes.
I'll tell you what that means.
You can wear soccer.
We do our own fucking shit. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, yeah. And that's what you.
Renegades.
You want to be able to express yourself and do wear shoes that and pants and things like that that express who you are and the individual that you are. But then there's certain rules that you're supposed to follow too. That you know.
So your shoes reflect you.
Yes.
Polka dots.
I'm a little loud, a little out there, a little fun.
So what do they call those? You know, they all have names, right? All these like kinds of shoes. Yeah, these are exclusive.
These are Nike Roche or Roush, however you want to pronounce it. It's Roshe. So
is that like out of like a Mustang Roush?
That Roush is with a C, isn't it? Or is that an S also?
What size shoe do you wear?
I'm a 12. C, Are any of you guys 12s?
I'm a 12.
You want to try these on? Have you ever put a pair of these on?
No, I've never worn them before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off.
You want to do it right now?
Yeah.
On air? I'll just try one on.
No. Try them both
it's
on.
It's about to get stinky in
here. No. I just came out of a shower, bro. I just want to
You do your toenails. I'm not worried about you.
That's a good point.
This is not the first time we've shared something on our feet.
So
what? That's weird.
I want you to put them on.
You guys want some athlete's foot? I'll hook you up.
And then I want stand up afterwards. I want you to feel comfortable.
Hey, so you're 3 inches taller than me, but my foot might be slightly larger than yours. You know what that means.
You have to wear big socks.
I don't know.
I could never wear polka dot shoes.
Actually, I'm looking at it on you, and it actually looks pretty good.
I could never wear polka dot shoes.
It actually looks pretty good. I don't know if the shoes are just that joking? Badass.
No.
I could never.
Sal.
The inside. No, look at that. Is that me? Hold on, I'm going
to
stand up.
Yeah, I want you to see. I want you to feel how comfortable the shoes are. That's more important than anything.
Wow.
You those comfortable or what? Do you almost feel like
No. I just, you know how you.
You know
like,
what? My feet are comfortable.
You have to believe.
They are extremely comfortable and they're very light.
Yes.
But the because of the way they look, I also feel uncomfortable at the same time. So it's this weird, like competing comfortable, uncomfortable feeling.
Now, if you like the style as far as the fit, this there's tons of simple colors and stuff. You guys have seen me wear some basic ones that are, you know, just regular looking.
I've never seen you wear basic shoes in my life.
I guess I'm a huge.
He's
chubby.
Just not a basic.
I'm a huge basic guy. Yeah, I'm not a basic bitch.
Basic bitch.
That's like the thing right now, right? I'm so basic. You're so basic,
bro. I've been wearing Adidas indoor soccer type shoes, like you know, like Sambas, and since I was like 14.
Well,
I love them.
I get that because you played soccer for 15 years of your life, so it makes sense.
I've never played soccer. By the way, I'm horrible at soccer.
Just indoor soccer.
I'm just kidding. But Nintendo soccer, at least you played some sort of soccer to justify it. No. Yeah. And you know what? And Chucks couldn't fit Justin
because
he
says ole a lot. I noticed.
Ole, 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 ole.
It's like, okay, Sal, we get it.
So my shoe fetish or whatever you want to call it actually started when I was a kid and I played basketball. So when I played basketball, you wore basketball shoes were like back then basketball shoes were like the most expensive shoes really, you know what I'm saying?
Those when we were pumps kids. And Jordans.
Yeah, and so we grew up in the Jordan era.
Yeah.
So
I had all those.
Yeah, so Jordans were like the thing back then. And I wasn't a kid who had a lot of money or anything like that. So I got like once a year I got a pair of these things. And you know, I used to like after every wear clean them and I keep them elevated in my room so they wouldn't be on the ground.
Yeah, I had the first Jordans.
Did you?
Yeah. I totally begged and pleaded and like forever. And I never like asked for anything like expensive ever, But that was like the one thing. And so my parents actually were like, oh, okay. You know, they splurged a bit on that for me. So I was like that kid that had the Jordans at school, and I just felt
like
such a
badass. Do you guys remember parkas? Do you remember when parkas
were stuff? Yeah, for sure.
Starter parkas, starter bro. Parkas, everybody had one.
Did you guys have the beads on your on the
oh, yeah.
What is that? The little drawstring?
Oh, yeah.
Where you have the different color beads?
And you matched them to where you matched them. Right.
What was your team? What did you guys wear?
I had Cowboys.
I had a UCLA Bruins one, actually.
Niners for me.
Yeah, Niners, nice.
Yeah, no, those things were fucking cool for a while.
Parkas?
My brother had a Niners one, yeah.
I had before the big fluffy parkas that you're talking about.
That's the one
I had even the starter jackets that were more like the, you know, sleek.
Yeah.
I had a Celtics one like that.
Yeah. Oh, that was sick. All green.
Yeah.
Remember the gold Niner one?
Yeah.
That was pretty sick too.
I had that one too, I think.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys something.
About style, or are we moving
no,
on?
No, I'm done.
Okay. That's overload for
I'm
you.
Over
That's
it.
Enough. That was enough for you today, right there.
Yeah. So I've been messing around with this little technique, and you know, we're always looking, like, we've been working out for a long time. We're always looking for
finger a in the new butt technique.
Exactly. Mm. Middle or index finger.
I knew it.
Or two. No, we're always looking for new ways to get our bodies to adapt, to change to what we're doing, especially if you've been training for a long time. Well, I was looking back through some old workouts, and I looked at some old Dorian Yates workouts. Do you guys remember his blood and guts philosophy of training?
No, explain it to me. If you say it, I'm sure I will.
I don't remember anything about bodybuilders, just FYI. So I love how you reference them all the time. I just sit here like, yeah, dude.
You might as well be talking Chinese.
Yeah, well, mention athletes, I'm like, cool, but like, I literally have no fucking idea.
The ironic part is that's kind of my world, and I still feel the same way as you, Justin. I'm like, dude, who the fuck watched bodybuilders back in the fucking
bro, I was a fanboy. No, this was the 90s, bro. Dorian Yates. Anyhow,
I don't want to detract you, but I just had to put that out there.
So Dorian Yates, he would train to failure. That was his big thing. But one thing he did was he never did more than like one or two sets for an exercise, but he'd do a lot of exercises versus doing a lot of sets per exercise. So let me explain.
Okay.
Let me explain.
I get where you're going.
So typical, just for the listener. So, you know, let's say you go and you do three exercises for your chest and you're doing three sets each for nine sets total. Rather than doing three exercises, three sets each, you do one set for nine exercises.
Yeah.
So it's a total different variety. And you get to do all these different angles. So I've been kind of messing with that because I tend to, you know, I do full body workouts, and that's kind of what we tend to preach here is those type of workouts. And I'll typically do anywhere between maybe four to six sets per muscle group. But typically that's broken down into one or two exercises. Well, what I've been doing is I've been doing four or five exercises, one set each. And I'm getting some interesting results from it.
Well, I most certainly can see that just because it's new to your body. For many, many years, mm-hmm. although I never used that method, I was a three-set guy. I was never...
Per exercise.
Yeah, per exercise. I didn't graduate to like four and five till way later. Back then, I just used to hate doing four or five sets of the same exercise. It was just daunting. So I used to do three and then move on to the next thing. Now, I attribute a lot of, you know, my changing or morphing of my body later on to actually graduating from that, because I feel, you know, sets four, five, six and into a workout, man, that's the ones that I feel like really are the mm-hmm. money makers and count. The first one or two, it's like I'm warming up. I'm really getting that mind muscle connection and focusing on where I want to feel it. I'm honing in on the weight I should be using, because I feel like the first set like that, you know, sometimes you grab a light weight and you're like, oh shit, I'm feeling good today. I can grab more. Or sometimes you grab a weight and it's like, oh fuck, I thought I was going to get 12 of those. It looks like I'm getting eight, you know? So,
well, here's what's interesting about that. So if you look at different types of modalities or training, right, and we'll use two extremes. We'll use bodybuilding and then we'll use strength athlete. I'm talking about modalities that utilize weights. Strength athletes like powerlifters and Olympic lifters tend to do very few exercises, but they do a lot of sets per exercise.
That's funny you mentioned that. Like, I was waiting for my turn to kind of explain methods right now, because I've been doing like one to two exercises, but doing like almost 8 to 10 sets.
Yeah.
And, you know, using it sometimes with like a drop set. So I'm going all the way up and then I'm coming back down and repeating the process. But yeah, I'll split it. So I'll do usually two big movements, and then in between, sometimes I'll do four a week, because, I mean, I want to get all of my major lifts in. So, and then the rest of the time I'm doing the trigger sessions and I'm doing athletic movements and stuff in between. But, yeah, I've been working just on, you know, getting strong and focusing on those movements.
Yeah, so strength athletes tend to do fewer exercises but more sets. Bodybuilders are the opposite. Bodybuilders tend to do more exercises but fewer sets per exercise. So I think there's pluses and minuses to both sides. On one hand, doing lots of sets of an exercise, you're going to get lots of central nervous system adaptation. Have you guys ever done like 10 sets of squats?
Oh, yeah.
Or bench press?
Yeah.
You ever notice your strength goes up like by set 4 or 5 and then kind of stays higher than it was in the beginning, even though you're more fatigued, then it starts to dip again? Isn't that strange?
It is strange.
That's central nervous system adaptation right there.
Yeah. See, I like for a long time, I thought that was more of like, well, I guess I didn't do enough of an elaborate warm up, right? I wasn't responding yet, you know, like I should be, but yeah. Like now that you mentioned that, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and but doing less sets but more exercises might be more beneficial for maybe muscle hypertrophy or the pump, is what I'm noticing. So not saying one is better than the other, but just kind of mix it up in different weird ways that you haven't thought about. You know?
So my big muscles, right, back, chest, legs, calves now. Yes, thank you. Thank you for noticing.
Are you Cav Jazlin yet?
Not yet. I'm working on it though. I saw on the forum that a lot of people were pro that, so I'll do that, or I'll do those. What are those things? Are those still in style? Where the girls put fucking studs in their body or what with that? That's so crazy. Yeah. Even my ex had that.
The only stud in her body.
Boom!
That was a shot.
Look at you,
but
look at you.
Below the belt, Sal.
So
I'm on fire.
So I when I'm doing big muscle groups, like I was saying, I typically like kind of my foundation, I would say, or what I build off of, or you know, probably the most consistent I am is 4 to 5 sets. But I always, I mean, shit, just 2 days ago, I did a 10 set workout. Sometimes I'll pick 1 or 2 exercises. I've done that before too. I've fucking squatted for an hour, you know, just straight up just squatted for an hour before, or,
I do all the time.
You know, especially if it's like a comp or deadlifted for an entire hour, you know, just did that. Ugh. So you know what? Actually, it's kind of when I go in with that mentality, like today's a deadlifting day, like, you know, you kind of slowly warm it in, you're warming yourself up into it, then you get after it, and then, you know, kind of come back down a little bit. So it's, to me, it's not, it's actually kind of refreshing.
It's almost easier mentally.
It is.
Like,
yeah,
it is. To deal with.
I know, exactly. So, sometimes it's tough to, like I did just yesterday, which is deadlift and then go put in another 45 minutes of other exercises just freaking or brutal, you know, then I'm like, afterwards. Yeah. So
most brutal workout that I've done over the past few years was I did 10 sets of deadlifts, 315 pounds for 10 reps. And I rested 45 seconds. Remember, I was texting you guys?
Your rest to that?
I was texting,
Oh, my God.
45-second rest, 10 reps, 315, 10 sets.
Just exhausted.
Like, bro.
Every rep.
It was, I overdid it.
My low back I just on fire.
I wanted to see if I could do it. And I could throw 315 around like nothing. But by the time I got to the fifth set.
Yeah, all those reps, dude.
Bro, by the fifth set, I was like, this is fuck. What am I? But I've already told myself I was going to do it.
And so even
like,
though 315 is light for you, it's still not light. It's still, you're still good weight. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, 10 reps, you're like, bink, 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 bink. I mean, you start to get winded and tired and you just feel like shit. Your grip starts to hurt. And it was, remember, I was texting you guys the whole time. I'm like, set 5, set 6. Because I'm like, I know if I tell these guys that I'm doing this, I'm going to have to finish it.
Yeah, and commit to it, yeah.
Incidentally, 2 days later, I became ill. I got like a cold. So I think I just fucked myself up too much and killed my immune system. Yeah.
So
I train other people so much better than I train myself.
Oh, yeah. That's everybody, right? I mean, I'm like that too.
Yeah, I never hurt
people.
I'm like that's why we always talk about CrossFit, but that's what scares me so much, because like I could totally have some idiot coach tell me to do shit, and I'd be like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to do this. You know, like, I'll do it. I'll grind it out to the death. You know, that's just how I am. But that's why I have to be real. I have to pre-screen it.
You know, that's why I have such a hard time working out with somebody else. I'm, as much as I would love to be like, you know, canoodling with somebody and working out and getting, you know, extra gains that everybody feels like they get from a workout partner. I just, nobody knows my body better than I do. And I, you know, I don't, and I'm competitive like that, that if you told me, let's do it, I'd be like, all right, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? When in reality, when I'm by myself, I'm like, should I do this? Probably not a good idea for me to do this, or maybe I'll go. And sometimes I decide I'm going to do something, and then maybe halfway through, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm probably good now. I don't need to go any further.
You know what I think would be fun is if the three of us worked out together, but we did like maybe three workouts, and each workout, one of us is the guy who runs it.
It's going to be all pushing over here. It's so going like, to be all deadlifts over there. It's going to be all fucking
so Justin's like
accessories.
We're going to do, okay, guys, come like, follow me. We're going to go over here.
Like, dude, Adam, I haven't been on a machine in 20 years.
Cable fly. We're going to do cable flies. I really don't. I know we tease the shit out of me about stuff like that.
Come on. Don't go around and justify your, like, yeah, trying.
No.
We know, dude. We know you're legit.
Yeah, but you know what? The fucking 10,000 people are listening right now don't. They're like, what's up with that third guy you guys have? You guys are so smart. You guys do barbell and dumbbell work all the time.
I don't think so. You've explained yourself very thoroughly in this podcast series. Trust me. I think they know.
Yeah. No, you know what? I actually got to, did you see the post I did the other day on the vertical press? That was actually the first time I got to use that. I never used a vertical leg press.
Oh, old school leg press. Yeah. Basically a Smith machine upside down with your legs.
It looks scary. Yeah. I mean, you know what makes it wrong.
Here's my worry with it. My worry with that machine, this is the reason why I've never used it myself.
Oh, you've never used it?
I've never used it.
That was my first time using it.
I'll tell you why. Number one, it's such a, so when you do a normal 45 degree leg press, your legs are not coming straight perpendicular to your body. You're kind of at an angle. So it's not
going to smash into you.
Right. And I feel like if you're tight and you lower the weight, you're going to get lumbar. Yeah. You're going to start to flex and extend at your lumbar with weight, which is not typically good.
I could tell when I was doing it, I had to be very careful of my range of motion because a little too deep and I can feel that.
You feel your butt
Yeah. I can feel the butt wink happening even with it like that. So, you know, but it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. Just, anything new.
What was the difference in feel? Did you feel more what posterior chain? It seems like you would feel more in the glutes and hams because of that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I mean, that my ass was freaking way sore than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Because you still felt a major quad pump from it, but not, I mean, I definitely liked it way more than a leg press. Mm-hmm. It was a standard leg press because, which I have to admit, I don't really do that hardly at all. And if I do leg press, I typically do a single leg press when I do, but it's been a long time since
That's what I use it.
Yeah. I mean, once I started squatting three times a week, it's just like, fuck, to do all the other stuff is just like, ugh.
Plus your legs look better now than they've ever looked anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure squatting three times a week has done a lot for that.
I think is super overrated is or underrated, excuse me, a super underrated exercise is lunges.
That was my staple leg exercise before I was getting into squatting like I am now.
Bro, do some barbell backstep lunges.
Yeah, I mean, depends on you're talking about getting gains from it.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Yeah,
but like getting balance and my phone just fucking fell there. Threw me off. Yeah, no, in terms of like getting people to be coordinated and balanced and move with resistance, I think there's a that guy. Yeah. There's a place for that.
No, I'm talking about like,
what do you mean, Justin? Elaborate what you're saying right now. I'm kind of confused.
What I mean is having somebody in a split stance, right? And then having that kind of balance while weighted.
I'm saying like a walking lunge.
Either a walking lunge or barbell. One of my favorites is to put the barbell on my back and do a backstep lunge.
I get what we're talking about. What I'm asking is your opinion on it, on yay or nay and why. That's what I'm getting at.
I guess this is
why we do this show right here.
Yeah, no, my opinion towards it is that It's not in the same. Remember how Sal was kind of rating the exercise?
He made up his fucking weird ass numbers. Sal said it.
From what Sal, I don't know what your rating is for the lunge, but I would definitely put it under like your squat and deadlift. Barbell lifts. But I feel like it's a great functional exercise, so I would put it on a high priority for functionality and movement and being able to, I guess there's a lot more versatility with it when I want to go for different planar motion too, and I'm doing transverse lunges. There's just a lot of...
When are you taking it to a whole new level?
Yeah, the creativity that you can go with that exercise, so that's why I use it.
Well, here, how about this? Name the top four mass building leg exercises. What are the top four exercises you can think
squats,
of that will build...
deads, lunges, and then...
Squats, deads, good mornings.
Good mornings, you think? Really?
Do you think so?
Well, for the posterior chain, but I'm talking about the overall
leg. Yeah, overall legs, right? Yeah. I think squats, deads,
front
lunges.
Squats. You got to put front squats there.
Well, squats, front squats, and you can, now we can break down a squat in 10 different types of squats.
I think they're totally, I do think they're completely different exercises.
Front squats.
Okay, well, then if you're going to do that, then I say Bulgarian squats. Because I think Bulgarian squats
fucking... What do you mean, with your foot up on the bench?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know why they call that a squat. It's not really a squat. I mean, that squat, it's more like a lunge.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying is that...
If
you're going to single out different types of squatting, I would single that out from a different type of lunge. I would say a walking lunge or a traditional lunge, like an alternate lunge, and then a squat... and then a deadlift, and then like a Bulgarian squat, if you're going to do that.
What do you like better, Bulgarian split stance squat or a walking lunge?
Well, I like walking lunges better, but I hate Bulgarian squats because they're so fucking hard.
My legs, I'll tell you something right now. Nothing,
I'm with you, dude.
Typically what you hate, though, is some of the best shit normally for you.
Look, my legs get fucking massive when I combine squats, front squats, and walking lunges. Those three exercises, my legs explode with size. It just gets silly. Those are the three top, I would say.
That's where was your fourth? You gave us four. That's
deadlifts, of course. Oh, deadlifts,
okay.
Of course.
So deads, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Hey, we should just keep this going. What are the top three chest exercises?
Okay, bench press,
standard
dumbbell press,
bench, yeah.
And you know what? Either I know you don't like machines, but either a fly or a deadlift. I mean, nothing is more even though you can't isolate. Nothing's more isolated.
Yeah, I love ring push-ups, man. Olympic ring push-ups, they'll fuck you up.
Yeah, but for chest size?
Combo that with a flat bench.
Yeah.
Because now you're getting more mobility and strength in that movement because you're stabilizing.
Some sort of a fly cannot not be in there because a fly, there's nothing more isolating than a fly.
You know, instead of just getting, you know, constantly getting hypertrophy, I want to get depth and range of motion and get stronger.
Which fly is going to be some sort of a fly?
Yeah,
right?
I would say flat bench, incline bench, and a flat fly.
Oh, there you go again. You're breaking up, you know, a flat bench and an incline bench.
You're just saying a press.
Yeah,
a barbell press. Some kind of a fly.
And then some sort of a dumbbell press or, you know.
Yeah. There's not much, huh? There's not many variations
There's not. I mean, you could say, like, if you're going power, then it's totally different story. Yeah.
Well, how about this? This might be a better question. Name some underrated exercises you can think of. Because I said lunges. I think lunges are underrated. Uh-huh. What are some other exercises you guys think are pretty fucking awesome that are just underrated or you don't see them done?
Let's go to a muscle then, like you just said. Let's give me a muscle and then let's talk about it that way. Otherwise, my mind's
going to hold. Well, one exercise for me just pops up that I don't see a lot of people doing, but is a fucking awesome exercise and used to be... it used to be prized by old school lifters. And it's the pullover.
Oh, okay.
The cross bench dumbbell pullover.
Well, and here's
you would mark that as a, you know, up, like as far as it's a good.
Is
it overrated?
It's underrated. I think it's a great extra. I think you put dumbbell pullovers, man, it gets the front and the back of your body. It's a movement that's very different, right?
Because you're not. Different. Yeah,
well,
I'll give you that.
You want to tell me what my. I agree with you.
And you could use a lot. If you get strong in that shit, you could use. I mean, at one point when I was doing it for strength, I was using 120 pound dumbbell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's because of the stretch of it, right?
So I have a theory on that, why that is. It's very similar to why the deadlift is. What it doesn't do is it doesn't fatigue out all your other secondary muscles as much, and it puts direct emphasis on it. It really isolates your back when you're doing that, when you think about it, because your arms are in a fixed position. How many back exercises do you actually do where your arms stay in a fixed position?
It's all pullover movements, whether it be a straight arm pull down, pull over. Yeah, you're right.
No, even a pull down, your elbow, you got
no straight arm pull down.
Oh, yes. Any movements like that where you can, that's just like the chest fly. Why?
Well, then it becomes more core too, because when you're doing the pull down. Yeah.
That's why I love the. So I told you when I quit doing the deads, I replaced it with pullovers. And I used to start my workout with that. So I'd get this great little back pump without my arms being fatigued at all. So then when I went to a lat pull down or a dumbbell row or something like that, I still had a lot of juice in my biceps and my arms and I could still rip some good weight versus, you know, somebody who might go start like on seated row and you start on seated row and your biceps and shoulders are already fucking tired and fatigued. And then you think you're going to go to a big compound movement and like a T-bar row or something like that, and it's going to be hard because your auxiliary muscles are fatigued.
Well, here's what's funny. With back, 99% of the time when you're working your back, what auxiliary muscle are you also probably working?
Biceps.
Biceps.
Yeah.
A pullover, you're not. A pullover, your triceps are stabilizing. I know.
That's what's strange about it.
Your triceps are stabilizing. So that changes the combo of muscles.
That's why I think it's great.
Right. So same thing with chest. Nine out of 10 times, what works with chest? Triceps.
Triceps. Yeah.
What is a fly?
Biceps.
Biceps and chest.
Exactly.
So it's that whole combo thing that's going on that changes it up. That could be part of it, right?
So here's your little tip for those that are listening right now. If you have not started your back workout in a long time with some heavy pullovers.
Oh, yeah. You'll fatigue the lats and then go hit everything.
So I love to do that. Like, so let's say I do, back gets hit twice this week. And, you know, the last time I did it, I did deads, you know. And so maybe this time I start and I'm going to start because I love to start a back workout with deads. And then this time I'll come and I'm going to do pullovers instead. I'm going to start with pullovers. Same thing goes for your chest. If you're somebody who goes right to the flat bench right away or somebody who goes right to some sort of a machine exercise for chest, try starting with some chest flies, whether you do dumbbells or machine first, and get a nice little chest pump. Then go do one of those and watch how your chest feels after that.
Yeah.
Because you already got a nice little pump, but then you got that. Because for elite, especially if you're a tall guy like me, I feel like this is even more important because
you got long arms.
Yeah, I have a very long arms. So, you know, typically when I'm doing a, bench press, the first thing to give is not normally my chest. It's normally my auxiliaries. You know, it's normally my arms can't get that lockout position, you know. So, by me doing a little bit of a fly or something before, I get that great chest and then I still can push almost the same. I mean, it doesn't, I can do heavy flies, go over and do bench press and still press the same weight that I would do even if I went straight to it fresh. So then it really gets that chest.
What do you guys think about exercises that we used to tell? I mean, back in the day, they used to teach us, don't tell people to do these exercises. They're bad for you. Like, but now I find myself doing them because I know how to use them and they can be effective in their own way. Hmm. For example, a behind the neck barbell shoulder press. That.
Okay.
Or a behind the neck pull down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are exercises. You guys remember as trainers?
Oh yeah. Anytime you put anything behind your neck, behind your head was always a red flag.
They would say that, right? Yeah. But when I work out, I work out my shoulders and I go light. I go very light, but I'll do a shoulder press sometimes behind the neck and get a real full range of motion. Yeah. Totally different feel from a standard, military press.
Yeah. Right.
I would say playing with the position of my feet. So for me, and that can be squatting, calf raises. We used to not tell people you always want to be in the anatomical position, toes pointing forward and straight. And, if you do your, externally rotating or internally rotating your feet to do any sort of, leg exercises, ridiculous or silly, which I play with that all the time now, or even, lifting my heels up off the ground. I used to tell people that, people used to use that as a crutch. You know what I'm saying? If you were someone to put plates.
Like a block or something.
Yeah, a block underneath your heels. That's somebody who's, crutching their tight calves and you need to address your tight calves instead of, crutching a deviation like that.
Yeah.
Where these are things that I totally play with now.
Well, and for me too, I want to say going through full rotation. So if I'm doing shoulder press, even instead of, how they always say to come down to a 90 almost.
Yes.
I got rid of the entire 90 degree bullshit. Yeah.
It's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's the
thing. Even with the knees, everything.
Here's the thing. The body, if your body can move in a certain position, then your body can move in a certain position. Now, if you're experienced, and you understand how to work with your limits and train within your range of motion, then that's the range of motion I think you should play with. And I think you should always seek to increase your range of motion smartly. And I've noticed, my shoulder has been sore. So trip off this. My shoulder's been sore, right? So here's what I've been – doing is kind of avoiding certain movements that hurt it. And it's been taking fucking forever to get better. So what I started doing is going lighter in the weight and going in a really deep range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? shoulder's starting to feel better.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I've had people come up to me and say as clients, like, oh, I'm not supposed to twist because I have a back problem. I'm not supposed to do any twisting. And it's like,
well, you're eliminating your body's ability to twist then. You realize that.
Yeah, I'm like, you fucking twist every day. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. You know, we're going to work within. We're going to play with that edge is what we're going to do. We're going to move to the edge of where it gets uncomfortable and come back out of it. And over time, what I've found with clients and with myself is that edge moves further and further.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to reiterate what you're saying right now, because I find we have a lot of trainers that listen to us. So I think it's important to note, you know, what you learn in your national certifications and or possible your degrees, they are going to tell you a lot about the 90 degree rule and things like that for safety and stuff.
Right.
And that's it's a general rule. It's like the same thing like when a doctor tells somebody like when they had just had surgery not too long ago, like don't work out or something like that.
Because, don't lift anything over 20 pounds.
Yeah. It's like, no, there's not this rule that you can't do that or it's bad for you. It's just that there's a risk versus reward thing here. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're putting yourself at risk possibly if you don't do it correctly. And as a trainer, if you're training somebody and you're teaching them only go down to 90 degrees on a squat or like Justin said with a shoulder press, well, you're kind of eliminating that risk factor of their body really deviating from going too far too deep. So like Sal was saying, as a trainer, you know, if you're a really good trainer, you do want to play with those range of motions and try and push those limits, but in a smart way, in a safe way, in a controlled manner with a weight that they control and manage and that you can guide and say, hey, you know, we can go a little bit deeper than that. And what you're looking for is as they're decelerating the weight, is you're looking for their body staying in neutral spine and keeping that core integrity. If you see it deviate out, then you go back to that kind of rule, or you go back to that's their range of motion. So,
or if you're in like a range of motion that you know is directly affecting ligaments or something like that, like where the stress, if you look at the stress points of the angle, so if your biomechanics are in such a way that like, say my knee is protruding forward like really far, and I'm putting all this stress and load and getting even further depth, you know, like a rubber band.
Yeah.
You can see that that's going to be completely stressing out your ligament. So that's not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. But like little tiny deviations from 90 degrees, you know, as sort of the standard, just based off your body's flexibility and like the length tension relationship I keep kind of bringing up, that's really, you know, where you want to and enhance.
Now, to be fair, I don't ever, or maybe rarely will I have a client do, let's say, a behind the neck pull down. But it's not because the behind the neck pull down is bad necessarily. It's because most people can't do it with the kind of muscle, mind to muscle connection.
Yeah, and that's where I was going.
That I can do it.
Yeah.
Where I can do a behind the neck pull down and I can move within a safe, you know, and keep my form so that everything's safe and I'm working what I want to. A lot of people don't have that kind of connection to their body.
Well, you can keep your shoulders somewhat retracted as you're doing that. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know how to move into it. Yeah. I know how to move into it to get it to work right. Whereas someone else, I throw them in there and then before you know
it's
it.
It's going to be all forward head and protracted shoulders.
So I guess a lot of this comes with experience.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, a big part, think about this right now, like, and I know trainers, sometimes they forget this, but I'm sitting in a chair right now, relaxed, and just by thinking about flexing my back, I can flex my back.
Oh,
without
easy.
Standing up, without moving my limbs, without anything, I could flex my back.
Right.
Most people cannot do that. Most people do not know how to do that.
Well, how many times have you had a client say this while you're doing an exercise? What am I working on?
Where am I
right
supposed
now?
To feel this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? I know. Or they'll say a muscle completely... You know, it's completely different. Like you're doing tricep press. I'm like, I really feel that in my abs.
Yeah.
Well, like, well, it's stabilizing you, but that's not where you're working.
Whoa, that last one got my ass on fire.
Really?
Yeah.
That was reverse crunches?
And for your lower abs.
And that same token too, I believe all of us can, I mean, I can do a squat, a standard squat, and I can focus more on my quads. I can focus more on my glutes. I can focus more on my hand by literally just thinking about it as I'm going through the exact same range of motion, the same movement pattern, but learning how to fire that way. That's, I mean, 60% of working out is mental.
Mm-hmm.
The mind-muscle connection piece is so big. And I find that when you start playing with range of motion and challenging the range of motion, that becomes very important. That becomes very important, understanding core integrity and neutral spine alignment and how to have that. I think that's
it's like a proactive versus reactive, like when you're going through a movement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of the mentality. So if I'm going through a movement and I know what I'm trying to do in the movement, and I know which muscles I want to fire, and as opposed to just like momentum carries you and like your muscles pick up for you. This is an automatic thing that, I mean, you literally don't have to think about, but guess what? Like to be more optimal in your movement, you know, there is this relationship. There is something that you can establish that, you know, you can get your body to respond at a higher performance based off of like, you know, training your body to be stimulated and to fire the correct muscles to support your joints in specific movements. So,
you know, what this makes me think about is how exercises, they're so different. You know, some exercises, if you want to focus on perfecting your biomechanics, your form, and then moving weight.
I already know where you're going with this.
And then moving weight, right? Like a squat or a deadlift. And then there's other exercises where you're just trying to feel the muscle, like a curl. You know, like I'm not trying to just lift more weight with a curl. I'm trying to feel my bicep more with a curl. Whereas with a squat, you know, for most people, perfect your form and get stronger and stronger and stronger at it. And I think when you mix that up, when you see guys in the gym with, you know, 13 inch arms, you know, curling, you know, more than me in the gym, and I know they're looking at me thinking, what the hell? His arms are so much bigger, but I'm curling more weight. It's like, well, we're doing curls. You know, I'm trying to feel my bicep. Let's go do a heavy pull, and then, you know, it's not so important to feel my bicep. I'm just looking to move weight.
Right.
So, it's interesting how exercise is very different in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, and things like you're saying too, when if you're somebody who pulls like you do, or you're pulling 400, 500, almost 600 pounds, them fucking biceps are getting pretty stimulated.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're
gonna want to contribute.
I have to admit this, that, you know, ever since we've been rolling on MAPS, I mean, it's been a couple of years now that we've been doing MAPS. So, I mean, when we made that big transition, that was when I made a huge transition to basically get away from doing my buys and tries ever. So, this is literally this week. So I'm always changing and fucking around with shit. So this week, which we all are, which you were just talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So my thing right now is I've actually never, paired like pull and pull. Like I've never like back and buys today.
You know?
So, because I've always been such an arm guy that I love to do, I love buys and tries together or by themselves or whatever, you know, like I like doing them so they're fresh and I can. Now, I've got some pretty strong fucking biceps, and triceps, but when I pair them like that because I don't really work them out very much, they're really not, but they're just as developed, you know, and I pull mad weight when I do deadlifts and other big compound movements like that. And I feel like I'm more symmetrical than I've ever been in my life with a lot less emphasis on even training heavy on those at all. So I noticed the other day I was doing bicep curls, and for me, you know, I can do isolation curls with, you know, 50, 55 pounds controlled comfortably, like 10 reps. I'm doing like 35 pound dumbbells. It's mm-hmm. like, that was what I used to warm up with to get me going, to get up to 40, 45, 50, 50 plus. And I was like, you know, getting worked on 35. And I'm like, fuck, I just don't do these enough anymore. You know, I used to do them all the time. I used to do, you know, isolation dumbbell curls like twice a week, you know, for years and years and years. So to see myself return to it and throw it into a workout and see how weak I am in it. But then when you look at my overall physique, it's far superior than what it was.
Well, what's cool is we've been able to share some of these things on the forum. And some of these MAPS members have been sharing with us some of their modifications and what they're finding. And it's cool, even as experienced as we are, to hear some of these people, you know, saying, oh, you know, I actually tried doing this in my workout. And it's, you know, even though we've been doing this for so long, you hear these things, they remind you, like, yeah, you know what? I haven't tried that in a long time, or I haven't messed with the tempo of my workout in a long time. And, you know, so it's pretty cool to be talking with other people. I think that's important. I think it's important if you're into fitness, you know, pay attention to your body, listen to your body, and then talk to other people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And get new ideas and listen to Mind Pump.
Mind Pump.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.